Over these past number of weeks now, we have been considering highlights from the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, those of you who have been here as we have preached these messages, I'm sure that it is obvious to you by now that we're not studying Paul's life in chronological order. In other words, we're not going through Paul's life step by step as the book of Acts reveals it to us. Our subject is simply highlights from the life of Paul. The object of these studies is to draw your attention to different important aspects of Paul's life. And I do pray as we continue to study these highlights from this great man of God's life that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. And I believe that there will be a message for each and every one of us, for saint and sinner alike. Now, so far in our studies, we have highlighted Paul the persecutor, Paul the penitent, Paul the prayer warrior, and then last Sunday night we considered Paul the preacher. Tonight, or today rather, I want to pick up where I left off last week and consider some more thoughts about Paul the preacher. Now, last Lord's Day, I based my remarks on Acts 9 verse 20, and we noticed three things about Paul's preaching. We considered the zeal of Paul's preaching, and we looked at the theme of Paul's preaching, and we considered the effects of Paul's preaching. The truth is, there is so much we could say about the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Preaching, after all, was his life after he was converted on the Damascus Road. But as we come again to look at Paul the preacher, I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 13. In this chapter, Paul is on his first missionary journey, and he is preaching in the city of Athens. And as he preaches God's word here, there are many who are listening to him. Now, again, today I want you to observe a number of things about the preaching of Paul. Preaching, as we said last week, is an art, the art of preaching. And of course, the Bible emphasizes the importance of preaching. Indeed, it is God's ordained method whereby the Lord saves precious, precious souls. And that's why preaching is so important in this church. Because it is God's ordained method whereby his word goes forth. And I pray that as we come to consider again the preaching of Paul, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts and have a message. I believe that there's a very simple but a very clear message here for each and every one of us who are gathered in God's house today. Now, first of all, I want you to notice here that Paul's preaching was based on the Word of God. Now, you might think that might be a very general thing to say. But my friend, it is so important that we emphasize this truth. Every time Paul got up to preach, his text was taken from God's precious Word. Now, we haven't got the time to read all the verses in Acts chapter 13, but take a look there with me at verse 16, and you will see Paul beginning to preach. Look what it says there in verse 16. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with the hand, said. Here we have the Apostle Paul, and he has a congregation around him, and he's standing up, and he is just about, in this text of Scripture, to declare the Word of God. Indeed, if we were to read on down from verses 17 to 22, Paul here gives a brief history of the children of Israel from the time they were in Egyptian bondage until the time of David the king. Paul here is preaching from the New Testament scriptures. And this was always his practice. When he preached, Paul always based his sermons upon the Word of God. And you'll find that out to be the case here in Acts chapter 13. Let's just read some of the verses from verse 17. Paul says this, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." So you can see there, even in a quick reading of those verses, that when the Apostle Paul got up to preach, he was preaching here the word of God. He was giving a brief history of the Old Testament scriptures as far as the history of the children of Israel were concerned. And that was always Paul's practice. When he stood up to preach, he always based his preaching on the word of God. Look, for example, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 15, when he began his missionary journey here and went to the island of Cyprus and went to the city of Salamis, it says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." Here we can see that Paul's whole aim was to deliver the word of God every time he got up to preach. Years later, when Paul was writing to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, Paul exhorted the young minister to preach the word. Therefore, the preacher's job is not to preach his own ideas or his own theology or his own ideology. The preacher's job is not to get up and preach what he thinks. The minister's job and the preacher's job is always to open up the Bible and to declare what the scriptures teach. Therefore, Paul's preaching was always scripturally based. Why? Well, because it is God's word. The Bible that we hold in our hands today is God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And of course, when the Bible speaks about the word of God being inspired, it means that it's God-breathed. Every word in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, God has spoken. It is God's truth and God's word. Also, because it is the only word that will do poor sinners good. If you and I want to know how to be saved, we need to read God's word. If we want to know how to get to heaven, if we want to know how to escape hell, if we want to know the condition of our heart, if we want to know who God is, we've got to read the word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, it is the entrance of God's word that giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And then in Proverbs 6, verse 23, we read, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul always preached God's word. Because it was God's word. And because sinners needed to hear the word of God. Because the word of God teaches us about ourselves and about God and about his salvation. And of course, because it is an eternal word. In 1 Peter 1 verse 24 and 25 it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, or fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Men and women, it's so important every time we come into God's house that when the preacher or the minister gets up to preach, that he opens the word of God and that he preaches the word of God. And I would say to you, the day that some minister or preacher gets up into this pulpit and he fails to open up the word of God and preach from the word of God, that's the time you need to sort of ask them kindly to get out. Because He's neglecting in his responsibility. It's the preacher's responsibility always to base what he's saying on the scriptures of truth, because God's word must go forth. And that's what we seek to do in this church week by week and month by month. We always seek to preach the word of the Lord. Now, notice something else here. Take a look at Acts chapter 13 again, and notice something else about Paul's preaching. Paul's preaching had one purpose in mind, and that was to point men to Christ. Now, we emphasized last Lord's Day evening the great theme of Paul's preaching, and of course the great theme of Paul's preaching was Christ. Again, we're seeing this truth brought out here in Acts chapter 13. But let me go a step further. The reason why Paul preached this great theme of Christ and Him crucified was in order to point men to the only Savior, to point men to Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now again, from verses 22 to 37, Paul's preaching uplifted and exalted the Christ of God. And when you read the verses here, you will see that very clearly. Paul used the Old Testament scriptures. That's what he's preaching here from, the Old Testament scriptures. And he used the Old Testament scriptures to prove that Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger and the one who died upon the cross, was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. Look with me at verses 22 and 23. We read verse 22, but let us read it again. And when he had removed him, that was Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also we give testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed, David's seed, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So you can see there, as Paul preaches from the Bible, and as he tells the history, a brief history of the children of Israel, he soon gets to the crux of the matter, and he soon draws the people's attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul goes on to preach about why Christ came into the world. He draws his hearers' attention to the death and resurrection of Christ. Indeed, he declared unto all those who were listening to him on this occasion that Christ had died and risen again in order to save them from their sins if they would repent and believe on Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. Take a look there on down the chapter, verses 38 and 39. Remember, Paul's still preaching the same sermon here. But he's coming now to point men to Christ. And he says in verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, speaking of Christ, this man, Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. This was Paul's message wherever he preached. Paul's preaching always pointed men to the Lord Jesus as the only Savior and as the only Redeemer. Now, again, we could trace through the book of Acts and we could turn you to all the references when Paul preached. And I challenge you to read through the book of Acts and study all the times Paul preached. You will find that on every occasion, without exception, he always pointed men to Christ as the only Savior. Let me just give you a couple of examples. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 13 there, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, there we have Paul preaching again. And when you study down those verses, you can see clearly that Paul pointed men to Christ, the Lamb of God. Indeed, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, The Apostle Paul said this when he was writing to the Christians at Corinth. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. There Paul, of course, was emphasizing the instruments that God uses when he saves them and calls them to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. But in verse 17 we read these words, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And in chapter 2, verse 2, we read these words, For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Oh, men and women, that is the object in all of our preaching. Whenever we preach, whatever portion of scripture we preach from, thank God, our aim is to point men to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And this must be the object of our preaching. If we fail through the scriptures to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have failed. If the preacher fails to prove from the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, then he has failed in his preaching. Preacher's aim should always be to uplift and exalt the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Let me say to you today, if you're found in God's house and you're still not a Christian, you're still not saved, there's only one who can save you from your sins. There's only one who can bring you to heaven. There's only one whereby you can receive assurance that you'll never be lost in hell, and that one is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And of course, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he preached Christ. And it was Peter who said in Acts 4 verse 12, when he was preaching, "Neither is there salvation in any other," speaking of Christ, "for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." When Philip went down to Samaria, the Bible tells us that he preached Christ unto them. Men and women, this is our message. My friend, if you're not saved today, thank God, we have a wonderful message for you. And it's this, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for your sins. But not only has he died for your sins, but he has risen again. And because he has risen again, all power belongeth unto him. And thank God, the one who died and the one who rose again is the one who is able to save your precious soul and my precious soul. I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house this afternoon, can you say that you're on your way to heaven? Well, my friend, there's one way to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Paul always based his preaching on the Word of God. And Paul always, as he preached, he always sought to point men to Christ. But you know, there's something else that Paul did when he preached. Paul's preaching was soundly applied to the consciences of men. As Paul sought to apply the message of the gospel to the hearts of his hearers, he did two things. First of all, he exhorted them to faith and repentance. He exhorted them to repent of their sin. He exhorted them to put their faith in Christ. Take a look again at Acts chapter 13 and look with me again at verses 38 and 39. Look what it says, "Be it known unto you." So Paul's coming to apply his message. He has presented the truth, the brief history of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. He has proven from the Old Testament scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior. And he has pointed men to Christ. And now, as he draws near to the end of his message, he's coming to apply it to the consciences of men, those who are listening to it. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Do you see there what Paul is seeking to do? He's seeking to persuade men to come to Christ. He's seeking to persuade men to repent of their sin. He's seeking to persuade men to turn unto Christ for salvation. You know, friend, if I was just to get up in this pulpit and read the scriptures and deliver a dry sermon and just leave it at that, wouldn't it be very dry? The sermon is for you. The message is for you and for me, of course. And it has to be applied. It has to be personal. And I say to you today, if you're found in this meeting unsaved, you need to repent. And you need to be saved. And you need to, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Because if you are not saved, when you die, you'll be lost in hell forever. You see, the message is for you. The message is not just for a past generation. The message is not just for those who lived in the Old Testament or those who lived at the time of Christ or those who lived when Paul preached. The message is relevant for today. It's a message for you and me. You see, when the Word of God goes forth, it must be applied. And this application of God's Word can be seen by the Apostle Paul throughout his ministry. Now, turn over. There's one example that I'm going to turn you to because it's a very important example. Turn over in your Bibles to Acts chapter 26 for a moment. Here we have Paul, and he's coming near the end of his life. He's the old preacher now. In Acts chapter 13, he's the young preacher. He's just starting out in his missionary journeys. But from that time to this time in Acts chapter 28, three missionary journeys have passed. And now he has been arrested and he's standing here before King Agrippa. Of course, he has been arrested not for doing anything wrong, but simply for preaching the gospel. That's why he was arrested. But you can see here he's standing before King Agrippa and he preaches a sermon to King Agrippa. And if you want to read that sermon, then you read Acts chapter 26, the whole chapter beginning at verse 1. And you'll read about the circumstances of Paul being there. And you'll read about everything that Paul said to King Agrippa. And you'll notice again that what he says is based upon the Word of God. And as he preaches, he seeks to point men to Christ. And he tells Agrippa and all those standing around that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior. So you can see that his message never changed and his method never changed. And the way he went about speaking to people never changed. But look what we read there in verse 27. King Agrippa, here's Paul speaking to the king. Believest thou the prophets? Now, he could have left his message off in verse 26. He would have preached the word. He would have told Agrippa about the Lord. And he could have left it there. But you'll notice he didn't leave it there, men and women. After he preached, he looked at King Agrippa and he applied what he had said and he asked the king personally this question. Believest thou the prophets, King Agrippa? Do you believe what the prophets have said about Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that you need to be saved, Agrippa? I know that thou believest. Now look what Agrippa said in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see that? Underline that. Paul was seeking to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. Paul was seeking to persuade Agrippa to be saved. The word persuade here means to convince. Therefore, Paul sought to convince Agrippa that he should become a Christian. Paul sought to reason with him by scriptural arguments to become a child of God through trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. If God's word is not applied to the hearts and consciences of men, then no fruit will remain. Now, of course, we believe that salvation is the work of God. And for as we read the word of God, the truth is that the Lord will take his word and apply it to the heart of the sinner. And it's certainly not the preacher's job to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But you can see here, again, the zeal of this man and the love that he had for the souls of men. You can see here how he's applying God's word to them. And he speaks to them directly and personally. Oh, my friend, let me speak to you personally today and directly. Do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? I know that many of you do. You believe it in your head. You've been brought up under the sound of the gospel. But oh, do you believe it in your heart? Agrippa believed it in his head, but he didn't believe it in his heart. Look what Paul said to him in verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Man needs to see his own sin. Man needs to see his own need of Christ. Man needs to see that he must come personally by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My friend, as the word of God goes forth, I pray that you will realize and recognize that we're not just preaching sermons, but we're preaching what you need in your life. You need in your soul. And I pray that the Lord would reveal that great truth to your heart even today. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, and you remember he met Nicodemus at night. He said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus applied the word personally to him. My friend, you need God's salvation today. You need to be born again today. You need your sins forgiven. You do. And I pray that the Lord will take his word and write it upon your heart and reveal that truth to you. There's much said today about the Bible. My friend, I would encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Read it for yourself. Get the Bible down and read it. But don't forget to apply it to your own heart and to your own life. Because God has a message for you in the Bible. And God has a message for me. And as far as salvation is concerned and getting to heaven is concerned, God's message is clear. That the Lord Jesus is the only one who can redeem us. May God save your soul this day if you're not saved. And if you are, may the Lord help us to rightly divide the word of truth and preach Christ and him crucified. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy precious word. We thank thee for the life of the Apostle Paul. And oh God, we pray, Lord, that in these days that you would help us to be faithful preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, O God, that our messages, our sermons will be scripturally based. And that we will preach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that as we preach the truth, that we will always seek to point men to the Savior. O God, that we'll find Christ in all the scriptures. And, O God, that we will seek to persuade men. Lord, help us to be persuaders. Help us, Lord, to reason with men, to come to Christ. And, O God, we pray that you would do your great work of salvation in the souls of men. We thank thee, Lord, and we do believe and know that salvation is of the Lord. But, O God, you've so ordained through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. O God, give us a passion and give us a burden for the lost And help us, Lord, in these days to see them won for Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.